WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Ben Folds 5 is a rock trio with no guitar, led by a pianist who loves punk rock and show tunes, and was described in People magazine as fitting somewhere between Little Richard and Billy Joel. Ben Folds is the lead singer and principal songwriter of the band, which is based in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. After several years of playing small clubs around the country, Ben Folds 5 became quite popular a couple of years ago. Their CD, Whatever and Ever Amen, included the song Brick, which became a hit single. The group has a new CD called The Unauthorized Biography of Reinhold Messner, and they're currently on tour. On this archive edition, we have an interview with Ben Folds, recorded in April of 1998. Before we hear it, let's listen to a track from the new CD. This is Army.
Well, I thought about the Army. Dad said, son, you're f***ing high. And I thought, yeah, there's a first for everything. So I took my old man's advice, three sad semesters. It was only 15 grand. Spinning bed, I thought about the Army. I dropped out and joined a band instead.
One of the things I find interesting about this band is how forward Ben Folds' voice usually is in the mix, unlike some bands which nearly bury the singer behind the guitars. Last year I asked Folds about that.
The lyrics are important to me, and I also, I mean, I'm not like a strong, like loud singer, and I think it's better if it's all about the song and the words, to go ahead and put the singer way out there so it doesn't sound as if you're apologizing for something, too. I like to just put it way up there, and it's about the song, and that's it.
Why is there no guitar in the band? To me, it doesn't seem that unusual, though I know it's a big deal for everyone. It seems perfectly acceptable to me to have a band without a guitar and to be piano-based.
I think that's a great answer. I mean, we never thought about having a guitar, really. I mean, I'm sure I've answered it in a thousand different ways, depending on what my mood was. But at the same time, it's just like it really never was an issue. I don't see what's unusual about that either. It's just that there's no guitar, and after all, I mean, who wouldn't want to be a little bit different if possible? You know what I mean? It's like we're not freaks or anything, but I would like to. I like to make some kind of niche or something different or offer something different, and the lack of guitar seems to be a nice, you know, a nice change.
Did you once describe the band as punk rock for sissies?
Yeah, and that got quoted a lot, I guess because it was in our bio. But I think that was that, you know, that was right at a time, too, where to qualify anything new in music, you had to call it punk somehow. It's a weird thing because some of the worst crap bands in the world I've ever heard are punk bands, and I don't want to be a punk band at all. But it was kind of funny that people would equate us with punk in some way, and so I said, well, if we're punk, then it's certainly punk rock for sissies.
I know that there were times, and I don't think you still have to do this, where you had to carry your own piano around with you on tour because you'd play in places where there wasn't a piano or where you're expected to bring a crummy little synthesizer with you.
Yeah.
You don't still have to do that, do you?
No, the first two and a half years that we toured, and we were touring like really, really constantly in the U.S., we carried my piano, just me and the band, and one extra guy. And we carried, it was a baby grand piano, and every single, I'm not talking about like nice clubs, we're talking about like punk clubs and, you know, five bands on the bill and you know, just really kind of not so great conditions. But I think it was a really, really cool context for people to see a real piano in, too, the same places that some punk band had played 5 minutes before. You're seeing a real piano, and I think that was kind of a cool thing.
I suppose there was room for a grand piano.
Man, you can make room anywhere. It's amazing. We've put it up on like where the legs wouldn't all fit, just put it up on a chair or on the side of the stage.
Oh,
I mean, we substitute so many things for the legs of that piano. It can be done. Well, we were insane, really. I mean, I think about it. There was something wrong with us.
Why do you say that?
Because the drive and the energy it took to move that piano from state to state was, I mean, I can't believe how much work that was, really, when I think about it. Because you have to get there very early. You have to be in a certain, you know, just the kind of vehicle that you have to drive around and buy to do that, and where you have to park it, and getting it up steps and on the stage, and after the show, then you're there for like a long time getting it off the stage and into the truck, and it's crazy. It really is a lot of work.
All right. Well, I want to play another track.
<All right.
laughs> That's right. I want to play another track from your CD. It's a track called Stephen's Last Night in Town. And this is, first of all, I think the lyric is very funny in this. It's kind of about, you know, the guest who wouldn't leave, the guy who is forgiven for a lot of things because, well, he's leaving town tomorrow, so he could get away with anything.
Right.
And another thing on this track is that a few of the musicians from the Klezmatics, which is a klezmer band, is on this too. So it's a kind of unusual, interesting sound. Tell me about the story behind the song and the arrangement.
Well, Stephen is really Stephen, and he was he's an English guy. He's a friend of mine now. He came through town and just stayed. I mean, it's just like the song says. He stayed for longer than we thought he was going to stay, and it would be like, I'm leaving tomorrow, so can you throw me a party? We'd be like, all right, so we throw him a party. And the next day, like, knock, knock, knock. I'm sorry, I didn't take my plane like I was supposed to, but maybe we should have a party. And after a while, it was kind of like, okay, well, this is really is your last night in town, isn't it? And then the Klezmatics, I just heard, well, I've been listening to the Klezmatics for a few years and just loved their music and was looking for an excuse to get to work with them, and that song just seemed to really scream out for that sort of arrangement. Although when we wrote the song, the arrangement was nothing like that at all. But yeah, I arranged it. We got the Klezmatics, or as many as we could, down to our house in North Carolina to record, and it was right after a hurricane had just come through, so we thought we were going to have to get a generator to record them with, because we didn't have power in our house until basically right when they arrived.
But it worked out good.
It worked out great. They weren't too happy about recording in a house. I don't think they're New Yorkers, and they were used to recording in a big studio. So they were kind of like, "What? I have no headphone talkback. I'm not going to be penalized for what you don't have."
Well, this is Stephen's Last Night in Town, the Ben Folds Five.
Except Tamara Easter, who later revealed to him her innermost secrets. One is over with stories about Linda McCartney. Lost points with lays for sin. He couldn't love a woman with cellulite. But we thought he was gone, and now he's come back again. Last week he was funny, and now the joke's wearing thin. Cause everyone knows
that's a song by Ben Folds, the Ben Folds Five, Stephen's Last Night in Town. I'm wondering if when you started to write songs, or at some point during your songwriting, if you sat down and said to yourself, I want to write songs that are truly about my experience, not songs in the manner of another songwriter. So what are my experiences, and how can I fit that into a song? Could you talk about that a little bit, and maybe choose one of your songs that you feel really talks about, not necessarily your life directly, but your kind of your more general take on life, or, you know, something that's connected to your world, as opposed to just an approach to songwriting that would be more secondhand for you?
Okay. Battle of Who Could Care Less. There's a dynamic around everyone that I know who is my age, who is, I guess you have to put in the Generation X category, though that gets to be a really boring, I don't know, I get sick of hearing about it, but the less you care about something, the more valuable you are somehow. It's a weird little ethic that I don't know how old that is or when it came about, but it's really stifling. If you really try to do something, or you really put effort into something, or you express, you know, that you care too much about something, you'll feel this energy vacuum happening around you where everyone is quietly looking at you like, man, that's not cool. It's kind of like Cats. Not the show, but it's kind of like the way people love Cats because they don't seem to care about them. Or if you have a girlfriend and she seems to be placing too much affection on you, and then one day she doesn't call you, and it's attractive somehow to people. It's a really weird dynamic, and so I just felt like that was just a little too much for me. So I don't like playing into that. I don't like acting like I don't care so that I can draw people's energy in. So I wrote that song. That's what it's about, The Battle of Who Could Care Less.
Oh, that's great. Well, let's hear the song. That's Ben Folds 5. We'll talk more with Ben Folds after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Ben Folds of Ben Folds 5. So what was in your parents' record collection? What did they have on the radio? In other words, what was the music you were surrounded with before you were old enough to choose music yourself?
My parents was Ike and Tina Turner, Earth, Wind & Fire, James Brown, Wilson Pickett, Otis Redding.
You did good.
Yeah, it was all R&B, and I don't think they had a white person in their collection, actually. Maybe Janis Joplin is the closest to a white person singing that I very often experienced at home. Then when I was about, I don't know what age, I started listening to the radio and was completely taken by, you know, like Neil Sedaka and Carole King, and I discovered my white roots at that point, I suppose.
Did you have any guilty pleasures? Or maybe Neil Sedaka is square in that category.
Yeah, I don't know. See, I never really... maybe this can be good parents' day. I've got good parents. I mean, I didn't learn a lot of really strange things that I think a lot of people learn somehow. And one of them I'm glad I didn't learn until much, much later was the idea of expressing your personality through your record collection or what you listen to. I just liked what I liked. It never occurred to me to be guilty about listening to something until well into my 20s. I started to realize that that's what people did.
I think a lot of bands, when they start out, really want to be different from the kind of spoiled rock stars who are petty and demanding and self-absorbed and so on. And then some of those alternative type bands get sucked into the same problems when they make it big. I'm wondering if there are certain things that you are pledging not to do and not to be part of.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think the most important thing is just to be yourself. And I think that relaxes things a lot. And that might not make any sense, but there really is something to just being yourself, just relaxing about things. And if you're pouty, to go ahead and admit that that's what you're being. See, that's a good question, though. And I'm really fascinated with that because I'm like at that level where it's kind of like, well, we've got this hit and stuff, and I can see why someone would turn into a rock star baby, you know.
Why?
I think you can't rule out like just circumstantial things like not sleeping, mm-hmm. not being in one place at the same time ever. Losing touch with your friends, losing touch with your family, and then basically, you know, stepping off of really kind of subhuman conditions on a bus, which people are like, oh my God, you got a bus, that's amazing. Well, I live in that thing, you know. It's like you're living with like 8 guys on a submarine or something like that, and to step off that, and then all of a sudden you've got these adoring fans standing there, and all of a sudden, you know, you're in this kind of, you know, little, I don't know, this little rock star position all of a sudden. It's very strange. It's really strange. I mean, it's weird. And so I can understand why people do that. My thing is, though, I don't want to act like somebody else, in order to weather it. But, I would rather just be something that I think is normal and attainable, you know.
Did you ever go through a period of trying on different personalities before you figured out who you were as a songwriter and performer?
As a songwriter, I've been unable to do anything but be myself. As a performer, yeah, the tendency to, I mean, it's really hard not to go just big rock, you know. It's like, do the big rock star bravado thing for me, because it's something that, I mean, I think I could be a pretty good actor, and I think I could act like a rock star on stage, and maybe sometimes that happens. But yeah, I've had the tendency to do that, but not in my writing at all. I can't stomach it. I can't sing a song that I didn't mean to write.
Before we heard your song, The Battle of Who Could Care Less, and you were, mm-hmm. you were talking about how you didn't like that attitude of being so kind of aloof,
yeah.
and never showing a reaction, never being emotionally involved. So I want to end with a song that's kind of the opposite of Who Could Care Less, and that song is Kate. And this has so much energy in it and so much love that's expressed. Mm-hmm. It's a really buoyant song. I quite like it. Would you say something about writing it?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is probably not suitable for radio somehow, but I mean, yeah, it was right before I got married. At this point, I'm in the middle of the divorce, but at the time, I just you know, I just thought, no one seems to write just like adoring, you know, love or crush songs, not ones that don't have a lot of some kind of there has to be some kind of irony anymore for people to write just like a crush song or an adoring mm-hmm. song about someone. You know, there has to be a twist, like in the middle, like you realize that he really hates her, or he really some kind of crap like that. And I just thought, there's that moment, you know, at the beginning where you can see nothing but good, and that's one of the greatest things. And why not just express it in a song and get over not being cool? You know?
I Our interview with Ben Folds of Ben Folds 5 was recorded in April of 1998. The band has a new CD called The Unauthorized Biography of Reinhold Messner. The band is on tour. Tonight they'll perform in Charlotte, North Carolina at a benefit for Kosovo refugees. The next few stops on their tour are Atlanta, Nashville, St. Louis, Kansas City, and Denver. This is Fresh Air.